20. When the play is over. Kamikaze, humongously hotshot and fishlegs, had to sail the Peregrine Falcon across the bay to pick up Hiccup. By this time, they had been joined by Stoic in the Blue Whale and Big Boobied Bertha in the Big Mama. The Windwalker flew across to them in order to show them the way, because of course they couldn't pick out one small lopsided helmet across those choppy seas that had been so stirred up by the explosions and vibrations of the volcano. They were all extremely worried, because the seas around Berk are very cold, and it is perfectly possible to freeze to death if you spend too much time in those icy waters. But in fact, Hiccup was all right. The red-hot lava now pouring down from the cliffs had swiftly heated the shallow waters of the bay to what was really almost a very pleasant swimming temperature. So he lay calmly on his back, waiting to be rescued, letting himself float up and down, supported on the swell of the warm water, looking up into the blue sky and thinking what a great joy it was to be alive. Toothless had been hiding up in the great billows of mustard-coloured volcano smoke, peeking out from his hiding place in the drifts of cloud, absolutely terrified. But when he had satisfied himself that all the exterminators had been exterminated and the fire dragon meant him no harm and had disappeared, he sped like a whirring green butterfly down to the bay, where he was the first to find Hiccup, turning gentle circles as he floated peacefully in the water. "Toothless, drop the stone in the volcano!" stammered Toothless, giving Hiccup a lovely surprise by landing on his chin, all on his own! When Hiccup had recovered from the shock of the sudden arrival and coughed out some of the seawater, he stroked the little dragon's back as Toothless licked his face with his little forked tongue. "You," said Hiccup, as the two of them revolved gently round, looking up at the sky, "are a great hero, Toothless." Toothless lifted up his head and did his victory cock-a-doodle-doo. And so, when the others did finally haul him out, Hiccup was calm and relaxed.
"Are you hurt?"
asked Stoic anxiously. "No," smiled Hiccup. "I burnt my heel, but that's it."
"Thank Thor!"
bellowed Stoic. And then, with a great roar of pride, he enveloped Hiccup in a stifling, hairy embrace.
"My son, I am sorry that I doubted you. We didn't let those exterminator what-sits beat us, did we? No, by Woden and the lovely flowing armpits of Freya, we whopped their little exterminator what-sit bottoms. They never knew what hit them. That's the spirit of the horrendous haddocks in you. Never surrender, and by Thor's thigh strings we did not. I can't wait to tell Valhalla Rama. Humongous, I have to admit, I owe you a great debt."
He smiled, only a trifle reluctantly, at the irritatingly perfect hero, sitting bloodstained but content on the deck.
"What a wonderful idea of mine it was to make you Hiccup's bodyguard."
Humongously Hotshot was looking happier than Hiccup had ever seen him before. A great weight had been lifted from his shoulders. He rolled up the helmet of his fire suit and ruffled his slightly thinning but still handsome golden hair.
"Well, I'd forgotten what fun questing could be. I really enjoyed myself there,"
beamed Humongously Hotshot the hero, breezily.
"And I thought I didn't do too badly, considering I haven't done that sort of hero work for over 15 years. A smidgen out of practice, but not a bad effort on the whole."
"You were marvellous," said Hiccup enthusiastically. "Stupendous! Brilliant!" Stoic the Vast smile froze behind his beard. But he had to admit that the guy had saved Hiccup's life. A chief should give credit where credit was due, whatever his personal feelings.
"It was a fine piece of bodyguarding, Humongous. You must name your price as your reward. Anything I have is yours. Anything at all, Humongous. You just have to say the word."
"Well, it's terribly kind of you," said Humongous, "if you insist upon rewarding me. There is one thing I would like from you, Stoic."
"Yes,"
said Stoic.
"Your boat, the Peregrine Falcon," replied Humongous. "I plan to start a new life for myself right here and now, and what I need is a good fast boat like this one, so I can get away from here as quick as I can."
"Are you quite sure?"
asked Stoic. He had mixed feelings about this, because on the one hand he was secretly rather relieved that this annoyingly brilliant Humongous wasn't going to be hanging round much longer, But, on the other, the Peregrine Falcon was far and away Stoic's favourite boat.
"I'm quite sure," said Humongous, firmly. "If you're going to start a new life, you might as well start it now."
Humongous smiled at Hiccup and patted him on the shoulder.
"Thank you, Hiccup," said Humongously Hotshot, "for finding my stone for me. It has meant a great deal to me in the past, but now I am looking to the future and I would like you to have it."
He leant over and pulled the bracelet with the ruby heart stone in it off his arm and gave it to Hiccup.
"I'm back in the hero business,"
he said, happily swinging his sword from side to side, juggling it with his axe, balancing it on one finger and then thrusting it back in its scabbard again.
"I'd forgotten how good it feels."
Humongous took a big, deep breath of the fresh sea air.
"I must say," said Humongous, "it's a great day to start a new life."
Humongous called across the waves between the two boats, and he was so far away now that Hiccup could only just catch the words.
"Send my regards to your mother, Hiccup."
Hiccup shouted back to say that he would.
"And thank you for giving me back my gift."
"Your gift?" Hiccup shouted back.
"The singing," called Humongous. "It's such a pleasure to be making music again."
And then Humongous began to sing. It wasn't the song that Hiccup's mother used to sing to him as a child. It was a new song. Humongous threw out his chest and really gave that song some welly at the top of his lungs, wildly out of tune and sounding like a couple of warthogs in a catfight.
The hero cares not for a wild winter storm, for it carries him swift on the back of the storm. All may be lost and our hearts may be worn, but a hero fights forever!
Hiccup, Toothless, Kamikaze, Fishlegs and the Windwalker had heard Humongous's novel way of singing before, and all five of them had stuffed their fingers or wings over their ears before he even started.
But this was new to Stoic the Vast. His mouth flopped open for a few astonished minutes, and then a great grin spread across his face. What a delightful surprise!
It seemed that even Humongously Hotshot couldn't be good at everything.
"Well,"
said Stoic, rubbing his hands together with satisfaction.
"I think we can do better than that, boys, can't we?"
"We certainly can," roared Gobber.
And there were cries of "You betcha," and "Couldn't anybody?" from Baggy Bum the Beer Belly and Nobber No Brains.
"All together now,"
cried out Stoic. And the whole tribe put their hands on their chests and sang their hearts out. All together, the words rolling out into the peaceful afternoon in deep and gorgeous harmony.
Up with your sword and strike at the gale. Ride the rough seas, for those waves are your home. Winters may freeze, but our hearts do not fail. Hooligan hearts forever.
And the blue whale, carrying Stoic, Fishlegs and Hiccup, Toothless, the Windwalker and the Hooligan Warriors, turned its nose towards the east, sailing along the rays of the sun towards the little Isle of Berk, a small, quiet, marshy little island that nobody notices much, but one on which there will be hooligans for as long as Great Hairy Bottom Shoe is buried in that bog. Their song was echoed by that of the Bog Burglar Warriors, sailing with Kamikaze and Big Boobied Bertha in the Big Mama towards the Bog Burglar lands to the south, getting fainter and fainter as they got further and further away from the Blue Whale.
Strong are the breasts that crush without fear, mighty the plots that can strangle the wind, nimble the fingers that burgle the bog. Bog burglars stand together.
Hiccup did not join in the singing. He stood on the deck of the Blue Whale, Toothless asleep on his head, The Windwalker pressed to his side, watching as the tiny dot of the peregrine falcon got smaller and smaller, travelling towards the west, towards new lands and new adventures and feats of strength and daring sagas that Hiccup felt sure that he would hear about sometime in the future. And even when the peregrine falcon was so small that it was a tiny moving speck on the horizon, Hiccup still fancied that he could hear the faint, out-of-tune noise of Humongous's singing.
A hero cares not for a wild winter storm, for it carries him swift on the back of the wave. Oh, maybe lost and our hearts may be worn, but a hero fights forever!
Humongously Hotshot was back in the hero business.